Welcome to another series of messages on the parables of the Bible. We're talking about parables, metaphors, types, shadows, hyperboles, allegories, riddles, proverbs, and parables of the Bible. We're going to start out in the New Testament tonight, and we're on page 28. And all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. He talked about the parables in the historical books and in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis means Bereshith, is what the word, it means in beginnings. It's what Bereshith means, in beginnings. We're talking about the parable of the mount on Mount Moriah. This is a type, a parable, an allegory, a historical account, in many ways, of something that was about to happen. Now I'd like to go to the book of Galatians in the New Testament to start off. We're going to let the New Testament interpret the Old Testament for us now. The book of Galatians, the third chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, the churches of Galatia. Now, most of the New Testament letters are to churches, how to behave and how to act and what to believe in the house of God, which is a pillar and ground of truth. If I were a Seventh-day Adventist, I would have a lot of problems. If I was a worldwide church of God, these people that believe they're modern Judaism, Judaizers. I would cut out the book of Ephesians and Galatians and Hebrews and Colossians and get rid of them out of the Bible. I'd have some excuse to get rid of those books because these books are contrary to the law as the keepers of the law. Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? O foolish Galatians, are you so foolish, Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? And indeed, it was in vain. Does he who provides you in the Spirit or with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? The hearing in faith. Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are in faith are the sons of Abraham. The Apostle Paul called the Jews, Judaism, the mutilators of the flesh. He said, you're like pagans. The circumcision was mutilating the flesh. The circumcision represented the circumcised heart of the true believers. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Now in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, I state to you that which I received, and this is a paraphrase, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh according to the law, that he was born in the right place according to the Scriptures, that he died in the right place according to the Scriptures, that he was buried in the right place according to the Scriptures, that he stayed buried for 3 days, that he rose according to the Scriptures, and that he lived and was witnessed by over 500 brethren. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations shall be blessed in you, And then those who are in faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the law, under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. That's Habakkuk, quoted from the Old Testament. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All the way back in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Now let's go back to Genesis, the 9th chapter. Verse number 26. And he said, and Noah is foretelling a prophecy. We're only going to be here for a couple of verses. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Shem means name, and that's the people to whom God would reveal himself through his word. Let Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. We find out that Noah prophesied that the gospel would be given to the Gentiles, as it says in the book of Galatians. The Gentiles would believe. Paul said in another place, Jesus Christ was born of a woman, born under the law, in the right time, that he died for us. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, where we begin our real story tonight, Genesis 22 and verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here am I, or here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain which I shall point out to you. Now there's some real problems in this verse with Abraham. First of all, God despised the offering of people's children for a sacrifice, because the pagans were doing that. So now, and Abraham had seen this in his day, he saw this. And God, Jehovah, God of the Bible, is telling him to go do what before time had been revealed unto him to be the opposite of the person of God. But Abraham has believed God. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, in the voker, the break of day, and he saddled his donkey. And he took two of his young men guides with him, and Yitzchak his son. Yitzchak means laughter, pleasure. His son, and split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to place which God had told him. And on the third day, three means a lot in the Bible, doesn't it? Three, three, three. How long was Jesus dead? 3 days. How long was Jonah dead? 3 days. How long was Lazarus dead? 3 days. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. He's over there probably near the Mount of Olives, and looks up there to where the city of Jerusalem will be, up there on that rock. Somewhere around there where the Dome of the Rock is, or one of those mountains, the tall mountains there. And Abraham said to this young man, to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, over there, and we will worship, first person plural, and we shall return. We shall return. Now, it doesn't explain that in English, but in the Hebrew it says that. First person plural, we shall return. Now, the book of Galatians says that God believed Abraham, or that Abraham believed God, and that he offered his son. In the book of Hebrews, we're going to go there in a few minutes, and we're going to believe that Abraham, even though he took his son, the life of his son, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. So he believed in the resurrection. Right here is where he believes in the resurrection. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so that the two of them walked together upon this mountain, or up to this place, Mount Moriah. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, and behold the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He was used to offering a lamb, wasn't he? And Abraham said, God will see to it. God will see to it. Jehovah Jireh. That's what he named this place. God will see to it. And God was seen. God will see to it. And God was seen. God will see to a sacrifice for himself, the lamb, for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. And now is the real crucial part of the story. And bound his son Yitzchak and laid him upon the altar on top of the wood. What do you think that Isaac was doing? Yitzchak. He wasn't laughing here. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife, to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, Melech HaYehovah, called to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for I know that you fear God. The beginning of knowledge, the Bible says, is the fear of the Lord. God, you fear God since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. This is a type. Herbert Lockyer said, The Holy Spirit is our authority for calling the incident of Abraham's offering up of Isaac a parable. The inspired writer to the Hebrews says that after Abraham's act of obedience, he received him as a type, as a figure, as a parable in Hebrews 11 and 19. We'll go there pretty soon. The word used for figure here is the same word used for parable in the Gospels. The placing of Isaac upon the altar was a parabolic representation of death. The parable being in action. Words, deeds speak louder than words. Deeds speak louder than words. The parable being in action instead of the words, and his deliverance was therefore a parabolic representation of the resurrection. Abraham believed that God would raise his son. If he killed him, that he would raise him up, because he said that in his seed shall all nations be blessed. The fearity accomplishment of the deed passes to the historical narrative. He was in the act of offering. This phrase and the fact that Abraham believed God wasn't able to raise up Isaac from the dead reveal the greatness of the sacrifice of Abraham was called to make. And it's interesting to note that Isaac is the only one in Scripture apart from Christ to be spoken of as an only begotten son. Genesis 22 and verse 2, and Hebrews 11 and 17. And we'll go to the book of Hebrews pretty soon. Abraham said, God will provide. God shall see to it. And then they came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there. And he stretched out his hand to took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hands against the lad. Do nothing to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him is a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Now the ram is the strongest part of a sheep. It's the strongest part, his horns. And he is caught in his horns. In the altar, in the tabernacle, there were four horns. By the way, there are sheep that have four horns. Four horns, by the mighty power of God. Now this lamb, this ram here, was a type of Jesus Christ, that God would provide the offering for all of us. By his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord was seen. Abraham saw Jesus in his pre-incarnate form there. Jesus appeared to him. In the New Testament, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he told them in one place, How old are you? He said, Before Abraham, I was. And he said, You say that you're older than Abraham, and you're not yet 50 years old. He said, Jesus said, Abraham was delighted to see me in his day. And this is the very event that he's talking about. And they picked up stones, going to stone him, because they said he blasphemed, because he said that he was God. He was Jehovah. John 1 and 1 says, In arche, ein ho logos. In beginning, before any beginnings, kept on being ho logos. The word ho logos there comes from the direct equivalent of ha the var in Hebrew, which means the word. After Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he will require it of you. They never spoke the name of God, his personal name, again. And they came to it, they would say ha the var, Hashem, the name. When John was writing the gospel according to John, he picked that up, that Hebraism, and he said, in the beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being in a separate part of the Godhead, because Jehovah kept on being God. John 1:14, Kai logos sarx aganato, and the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the only one from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John 1:18 says, No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being, present tense, nominative singular masculine, present participle, actor, own, as it is in Greek, the one being in the bosom Father, that one has led himself out. And it says in John 1:14, Kai helogos sarx aganato, and the word, the Jehovah, flesh, he became. Sarx, he became. Third person masculine singular. Aorist, indicative middle voice. God brought himself into this world. The Lord shall provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, or it shall be seen. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said, By myself I have sworn. When God signed a contract with Abraham, it was an unconditional contract. God put Abraham to sleep. At that time, they had a contract, a covenant, a barith, and two parties would come together, and they would have a big feast. They would kill so many lambs and birds and sheep and cattle, and they'd kill them, and they'd split them in half, and they put one half of them on one side of a blanket and one half of them on the other side of the blanket, and they'd walk down between the aisle, between the sacrifices, and they would hand each other their shoe. So they remember their shoe. Well, when it came time for Abraham to walk between the offerings, God put him to sleep. And Jehovah God himself walked between the offerings. He said, I have sworn by myself. He said, I by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing. And you have not held your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. As the stars of heavens. There are millions of stars up there. The stars represent Abraham's spiritual seed, those that are believe. The sands of the sea are his physical seed. Now, Abraham had three wives, didn't he? He had a Shemite, which was Sarai. Sarai, he didn't have his first child by. She was barren. And he went down to Egypt. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means the land of red mud and canal banks. Down in that irrigated land. He went down there, he got scared, and in the land of Canaan, and he took off down to Mitzrayim. And he went down there, and he was afraid that they were going to kill him over his beautiful wife. So he tells Sarai, tell them that you're my sister, which she was, his half-sister, so that they will treat me kindly. Pharaoh wanted that girl, that old woman, actually, but she was a pretty old woman. He wanted her, and he wanted to make a political ally out of Abram. Abram was his name at that time, Abram. Avram. He went down there and he basically sold his wife that was supposed to bring forth the Messiah to a worldling called Pharaoh. Pharaoh means the man that lives in the big house. And he lived in a big house. And he had a lot of concubines. He had a lot of wives. And he had a lot of children. And one of those children by a concubine's name was a wanderer, Hagar. And that was Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh looked at Abraham and he said, well now, I'll marry your sister and you marry my daughter and our children will be relatives and we won't fight each other. That was the way they did things back then. Well, the Lord plagued Pharaoh's house and revealed unto Pharaoh that Abraham had cheated him. And he told him, have old Abraham pray for him. The sneaking lying prophet. He's a prophet. Have him pray for you, for your forgiveness. Pharaoh had the fear of the Lord in him. He went to Abraham. He said, why did you lie to me? You used car salesman. Why did you sell me this here car with a flat crank in it and Maypop tires on it? That's what you call Maypop, you know, those slick tires used to, they may pop any time, you know, blow out any time. That's a Maypop tire. He sold him a bill of goods, what he did. And Pharaoh said, get out of here. Take everything I gave you with you. I don't want anything you have touched. And take off. And I'll make sure you take off because I'm going to send you an escort out of here. And he left. Abraham had his first child by Hagar. That's Ishmael. The first person to ever call Jehovah my shepherd, Jehovah Roeh, was Hagar. She's the first person to ever use the Lord my shepherd, Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. He watched over me. Told her to go back after she was pregnant and live in the house of her master. and put up with old Sarai. Sarai means to means contentious. It means prince and princess, but a prince or a princess gets there by struggle. And she was definitely a struggler. Well, Sarah told Abraham to have sex with Pharaoh's daughter, and that the child that was born would be her child. So he did. And this was a Hamite. This was a Hamite wife. And then he had a son, Yitzchak, by Sarah. And then Sarah demanded that he kick Ishmael out. By the way, Ishmael means to be heard by God. To be heard by God. Abraham listened to her, and God said, do it. And so she went out, and she was starving to death, and there Jehovah heard her again, and she called Jehovah Roeh, the Lord my shepherd. Well, after Sarah died, Abraham got him another wife, Keturah. And Keturah was a Japhethite. And by then, now we've got Abraham with three groups of children, Hamites, Shemites, and Japhethites. Some people, some genealogists believe that Alexander the Great was a descendant of Abraham. I checked my DNA, and I'm a descendant of Abraham. And probably if you did your DNA, you'd find out you're a descendant of Abraham, like the sands of the seashore. That's a physical seed, the physical blessing. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in the Messiah. It sure wasn't them Jews he's talking about. Jews have been a curse to the rest of the world in many ways. Because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, these guides, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba. And now it came about after these things that it was told to Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah has also borne children to your brother Nahor. And he goes on, and now here's the other relatives. Now let's go over to the New Testament. Heikinai Diatheke. To the 11th chapter of the book. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 10th chapter, actually. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to read a little bit about it here. We're going to look at some more things that just compound that we're saved by grace and not the law. There's one sacrifice that Isaac typified from the Old Testament. Word type means to strike and make an imprint. He was an imprint of the real to come. 4:10 and verse 1, for the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, only a type of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Every year you had to go to Yom Kippur again, the day of a covering, the day of atonement, and make another offering. Every year you had to remember all your sins and say it again, but in Christ we are saved once for all. Hapax. Otherwise, would they have ceased to be offered because the worshippers, having been once cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin? But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of the sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. They were a type of Jesus. Every one, even the turtle doves, were a type of Jesus. The turtle doves. They took two doves. This was the offering for the lepers, cleansed lepers. And this is the offering that they used when Jesus was circumcised, dedicated in the temple. They took two doves, two turtle doves. And one turtle dove, they pinched its head off, but they left just a little bit of its body connected with the skin of its neck. And they took that animal as it was dying and gasping and drained the blood into a vessel that had pure water in it, running water, living water, as they called it, from a stream. And they drained every bit of the blood out of that dead bird and dying bird as its heart pumped the last drops of blood for the last time. And they took the live bird and they took the live bird and they dipped it in the blood mixed with water and they turned it loose. That's us. We died, or Christ died for our sins. We are set free because we've been dipped in the blood of Christ. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. John 1:14, Kai Hologos sarx aganato, and the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became for himself and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. In the whole burnt offerings and the sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. These things that the Jews want to start again, they want to start the sacrifices, they want to build another temple in Jerusalem. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. But Lord, we'll get them straightened out. During this last period of time here, let's look at our dispensational map. We are all the way back over here in the time of prophecy. This is when Abraham lived right here. We're jumping way up here to when Christ was born, and we live in the church age right here at the end of the church age. We're coming all the way from here, and we're going all the way over there. We were all the way back here in the Noahic age after the flood under human government when Noah made that prophecy that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Verse number 7, Hebrews 10 and 7. Then I said, behold, I've come. In the roll of the book it is written of me. In the scroll of the book it's written of me. To do thy will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. And he takes away the first in order to establish the second. We have the old covenant, and now we have the new covenant. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, hapax, once for all. One time. One offering. Once for all. Jude, in the book of Jude, says, To defend the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Once and for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from the time onward until the enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Now we're jumping all the way from the church age here, all the way over to the end of the tribulation period, when he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit, who bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind, and I will write them. You that are born again, you have a royal, royal, royal lineage. You have the laws of God written in your hearts and upon your mind. Every time you would use the Lord's name in vain, if you did, you would be cut down, stabbed down in your heart. Every time that you sin, children of God sin, I can assure you that. Every time you sin, the Spirit of God stabs you down in your heart. It convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Even though we'll never see judgment for that in the afterlife, we feel those pains of sin today. If you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. And their sin and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. No more sacrifices. That wonderful sacrifice has been made. Now let's go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He left the Ur of the Chaldees. He went up to Haran. And then he goes into the land of Canaan. The word Canaan, that's Noah's son Canaan's descendants or inheritance. That's where they went. And he also said that he was going to make a slave out of those Canaanites. And they would go down there and build farms and orchards and vineyards, and that Israel would go down into Egypt for 400 years and they would come back and they would possess that land. He went not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as a pilgrim, an alien, a Hagar. That's what Hagar means. In the land of promise, the Hagarites were wanderers and strangers in the land. The Hagarites, those were Levi's sons. That meant wanderers. We are wanderers. In the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations and whose architect and builder is God. And that is New Jerusalem now. You know what? Oh, Abraham probably up there right now enjoying those gold-paved streets. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, and even beyond the proper time of life, she had gone beyond. She was barren. She had no more monthly cycles. Gone. Yet God rejuvenated her beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, of him as good as dead. That's Abraham, 100 years old. At that as many descendants as the stars of heaven, and as a number and innumerable as the sand of the which is by the seashore. All these died in faith. Abraham never received what God promised him. Isaac never received what God promised him. Jacob never received what God promised him. His 12 sons never received what God promised them. But by faith, they still believe that today. All these died in faith without receiving promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers, pilgrims, and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have an opportunity to return. Jacob did not want to leave the land of Canaan. And God told him, "It's okay, son. Go down there. Go down there and your children will be down there 400 years. And they're going to come out of there very rich. They're going to come back into this land. I'm going to give it all to them." Jacob believed that. But as it is, thy desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested and offered up Isaac, he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, which is a type of God's only begotten son. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Verse 18, "And it was he who, it was said, in Isaac shall your descendants be called." Listen to this. This we look back in Genesis 22nd chapter, and I told you that Abraham believed God. He said, "My son and I, we shall go up, we shall worship, and we shall return." He believed that God would raise him from the dead. He considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type, a parable, a figure of speech representing Jesus. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. And by faith Jacob, as he was dying in Genesis the 49th chapter, blessed each of his sons and Joseph and worshipped leaning on his top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders to concerning his bones. By faith Moses was born and was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they are not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at this. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. And yet, Hagar, the daughter of Pharaoh, brought forth a son called Ishmael. When Abraham sold his wild oats, his children are still reaping them today. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch him. The one who destroyed the firstborn was not the death angel. There is no death angel. It's Jehovah, the angel of Jehovah. Jehovah himself. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and of David and Samuel the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, and obtained promises, and shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting it. Their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, and yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, and they were put to death by the sword. And they went out in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill treatment. You know what this is talking about, going out in sheepskins and goatskins? They would take these poor people, these Christians, and they would take them and turn them out in the deserts where the jackals were, where the wolves were, where the lions were, where the bears were, and they would take sheepskins and take it fresh off of sheep and turn the hair inside to the person and sew it on them and set them wandering until some wild animals will smell the blood and kill them. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holding the ground. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, but because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they should not be made perfect. 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter that I quoted earlier today in this service. 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. Paul said to this church at Corinth, and I want to read this directly from his word now. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also received in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, you Judaizers. For I delivered to you first of all importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried according to the Scriptures, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, and most of them remain unto today, but some of them have died. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that the Lord showed us in the Old Testament. This is the gospel now that we look back upon, that we believe in today. We don't see Jesus today walking in the streets of Galilee. We don't see him walking the streets of Jerusalem. We don't see him walking the streets of Bakersfield or Muskogee, Oklahoma, or New York City, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Redondo Beach, or Los Angeles. We see him in faith. We look to Jesus for our salvation. We believe that if we confess our sins and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save my soul, that he'll do it. By faith, not by sight. We believe that. Believe that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, that he was raised for our... He died for our sins and raised for our justification. If you're out there, you don't know the Savior. Jesus died for you. He died for all man's sins. He died for every man's sin. All the bad, all the good. But I'll tell you this one thing. The atonement was universal. But the atonement is only efficacious to those souls that believe. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Forgive us where we failed you. Have it go out and do its job. We know it will. By faith, we send it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.